He's wild about you. You know that? Come on, somebody. It's great. It's good to be with you guys again. I'll tell you, it's exciting to be living in the kingdom of God. There's nothing boring about these days. I heard Lester Sumwell recently say that, you know, he doesn't even know why Jesus isn't back yet. Everything's lining up. And if you look at the news, everything's lining up. Come on now. Now, I'm not going to tell you he's coming back today. I'm not going to make the news nationwide. But he is coming back. I can guarantee you that. Come on now. Now, I got a couple of quick announcements. I'm desperate. I need friends. So if you're on Facebook, type in, you know, Preacher Woody Woodson. There's only one Preacher Woody Woodson. There's a ton of Woody Woodsons. But type in Preacher Woody Woodson. It will work. And within the next month, we'll start Twittering, whatever that is. I used to try to keep up with the Amish when it came to technology, but it's not working anymore, so I'm having to kind of get out of my comfort zone. So I'm going to start Twittering and frittering and whatever, but... And, you know, if you guys, you know, if we push your on button, you know, become partners with us. We try to send a CD of the month. We also send, you help us go and, you know, we continue to try to feed you with the Word of God. Any way we can. Your church partners with us. Debbie, you guys do. Thank you guys for doing that. And if you've got your Bibles, let's go to Isaiah 43. I want to deal with something all week about repositioning ourselves. And it goes along with, you know, renewing your mind. Because to be honest with you, until you change your mind, nothing changes.
That's right.
Come on now.
That's right.
And even the word repent means basically the word pent comes in a penthouse. It's the high point. So when we repent, we go back to the high point. Come on now. Do you hear what I'm saying? Where God, His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And because our thoughts are low, we need to repent and go higher. Come on now. We need to reposition our mind. Amen. So today we'll deal with something God dealt with me on. And I'm not going to say it's going to feel good. I'm just going to say it is good. You know, have you ever had an event that changed your life and you didn't plan it? Well, back in November of this year, on Thanksgiving Day of all days, the Lord did something I did not expect nor did I ask for. But he came in and talked to me and he told me, I want you to go on a 30-day fast. I laughed. I said, Lord, you know what day it is? And Lord, you know I get mean when I miss a meal. Come on. And he said, I want you to go on a 30-day fast. And he was aware of what day it was. He allowed me to eat my Last Supper. And many of you that have seen me, I'm about 50 pounds lighter than I was on Thanksgiving when I went on a 30-day fast. And I've been living a fasted lifestyle ever since. And the Lord has dealt with me that He's anointing the fast for this year. And that literally fasting is the entryway into the new. And I started studying it out scripturally, and it seemed like any time there was revival, any time there was a major obstacle, any time, it just seemed like there's two elements that always came together, and it was fasting and prayer. So let's go to Isaiah 43. I'm going to show you a lot of stuff. And don't get nervous. I'm not even telling you to do something today. I am going to say probably every one of you sometime this year, God will call you on a fast. I'm almost convinced of that. I don't think it will be a 30-day. I'm not planning. I didn't plan on the first time. I can be honest with you with a 30-day fast. I thought it would be the hardest thing, but God spoke. And literally for 30 days, I was not hungry. I ate soups. I ate broths and soup. But for 30 days, I wasn't hungry. And I was at, you know, Christmas time, we're at a party every night with food. And, you know, when God speaks, there's grace.
Yes.
Come on now. You try to do it, you're a mess.
Yeah.
But when God speaks,
yeah.
And he had been talking to me for a little while, I just wasn't listening much. Come on. But Isaiah 43, verse 18, let me show you this. It says, do not call to mind the former things, or consider the things of the past, or ponder them. How many people understand that God literally says, we must stop basing our life on what's happened before? You know, most of us are history studiers, not history makers. It says, don't consider the things of the past. Don't go there. You know, you'll end up either living in regret or living in past glory. None of that's good. Period. And it says, behold, I will do something new. Will you not be aware of it? Suddenly it will spring forth. And what God began to deal with me, he said, Woody, I am doing a new thing. Not that I will do, I am. It's a new season. I am doing a new thing. But he said, my people are not in position to see it. And he said, one of my assignments is to reposition people. You know, sometimes we're like Zacchaeus, we're a little short. Zacchaeus had to climb a tree to see Jesus. He had to reposition himself because he couldn't see him in the position he was at. Come on now. And many of you, honestly, the position you're at is an old position. And you used to be able to see him there. You can't see him there anymore. Come on. And God says, if you see the new thing, the result will there be a roadway in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So God says, as you perceive the new thing, it changes everything. Come on. And how many of you need a change? I began to as God began to show me this, he began to tell me, he said, the reason most people can't see the new thing is because they're too flesh-ruled, flesh-dominated. Come on now. And literally, I found out something. When you fast, it doesn't reposition God, it repositions you. You're not trying to change God. And I started studying throughout Scripture that literally people never fasted for a religious purpose. They fasted to see something changed. There was a mountain they couldn't move. There was an enemy they couldn't defeat. There was a sickness or a demon plaguing people that they couldn't get delivered. So they humbled themselves by fasting. Judgment was coming, and it was deserved, like in Nineveh. But the people repositioned themselves. Come on. Do you hear what I'm saying? In fact, when God told me, he said, I want you to go on a 30-day fast. That was tough. Then he said, I want you to teach on fasting. I said, Lord, I've never taught fasting. Never. I've mentioned it in a message, but not preached a message on it. Number one, it doesn't do good for offerings when you traveling minister. You just make people angry. Number two, you know, skinny people should teach fasting. Because, and at the time, I mean, I wasn't even close. I was a cathedral, not a temple. I said, when a skinny preacher teaches on fasting, you believe he does it whether he does or not. When a fat preacher preaches on fasting, you know, you almost laugh. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Come on.
That's right.
So I said, God, I can't teach this. And the Lord said, I want you to teach it. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I will not teach something that doesn't work for me. Everything I've ever taught is working on some level in my life. And I said, Lord, I'm going to put my faith on certain things during this fast. And if I see breakthroughs, I'll teach it. If I don't, I won't teach it because it's an armor that's not working for me. I'll do it because you told me to. But I won't teach him if I don't see results. And you know, it was amazing because within 24 hours, we had the largest breakthrough we ever had in our ministry. Within 24 hours, in fact, when we got it, I said, God, is the fast over? He said, I said, 30 days. So, okay, just checking. And be honest with you, we just saw, you know, what happened is we became more and more sensitive. Because how many people understand hunger is everything? Those that hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. You know, you can't feed someone that's not hungry. You can't. They're already fed up. Come on now. Then, you know, if they don't want it, they're not going to have it. God doesn't force anything. If you're not hungry for what He's offering, you know, you can be blind and say you see. You can say you're rich when you're really poor. You can say this is okay, and God says, okay. This is all you want, that's what you got. You know, He'll be disappointed because you can't please Him without faith. So it's not pleasing. But if you choose to live in the wilderness, you can. Come on. I began to think about certain things throughout, and the Lord brought me back. He said, Woody, do you know that every major breakthrough in your life was preceded by a fast? My first fast, I was on. During it, I was called into full-time ministry. Now, I never put the two together, but it was an entry point to something new. Several years later, in another major fast, I was fasting constantly when I first got saved. It was part of my lifestyle. But, and part of it was I was so bound up that I knew I had to deny my flesh, and I felt so guilty that I kept falling, that I would go and I'd fast and try to get God's approval. But at the same time, I didn't know, but the fast was helping break the bondage off my life. Now, I didn't understand that I had His approval. But still, it was part of the process of deliverance. And, you know, I remember several years after I was, you know, have you ever had someone die and you said, that one right? I mean, I had a three-year-old boy that died of leukemia, and I'd been praying for him since he was one. And you know, I love that little kid. And when he died, it broke me up so badly. I said, God, I am so tired of us preaching miracles and not seeing them. You know, I'm tired of that. I'm tired of powerless people, including me. And Lord, I literally drove me into a 19-day fast, and that was a total fast. That was harder than a 30-day soup. And I said, Lord, you don't have to. And I knew it wasn't a faith problem. I thought it was a love problem. I said, teach me on your love, God, but we've got to see more power. And after 19 days, we started praying for people and seeing some more results. It was an entry point into something new. And I began to realize that early in my life, it was part of my life, but as you get older, you get talked out of things. And I had some medical issues, and there's no excuse for not fasting because there's so many different types. There's no pleasant bread fast like Daniel was on. I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to do without food. So, you know, even medically, there's no reason not to. There's reasons not to do certain things. In fact, when I went on this fast, I called my doctor and said, you know, because they told me I had to, you know, have my, because of my sugar thing, I had to keep, you know, food in my system. Or a battle I had with sugar. So I called the doctor and he said, well, if you eat broth, and he said, if you feel faint, eat a couple of peanuts and we'll do your blood work in 14 days. And I even told the Lord, I said, 14 days, if the blood work's bad, I'll stop. And the problem was, in 14 days, I went from having like 300 cholesterol down to 120. Whoa. My blood sugar was better than it had ever been. And everything was beginning to function. I started feeling good. I said, God, you know, if I knew it was that good, I would have done it a long time ago. But I want to get you hungry. We're going to give you a lot of scripture, but how many people understand? If you don't think you need to fast, think about Jesus. He had the Spirit without measure, never sinned, never. And yet he didn't start his full-time ministry until a 40-day fast. It was the entry point into his ministry was a fast. And I asked God, and before the fast, he was full of the Holy Ghost. After the fast, he was in the power of the Spirit. Because I asked God, I said, God, how come we have so many full gospel people that have no power? He said, because their flesh ruled. Come on. And I began to realize how many times miracles took place when people fasted. See, God told me that he's anointing the fast for this year because it's a new season. And we must, the flesh you carried in to get to this level is not going to take you to the next level. It has to be, some have to be cut away in order for you to go to the next level. Come on now. Amen. And I wish there was a different way, but there's not. Come on. And God told me that it'd be a year full of new things for those who live the fasted lifestyle. I started listening to Brother Hagin's old tapes, cassette tapes and CDs, Ken Sr. And almost every one of them, he mentioned the importance of a fasted lifestyle. It was in every single tape. In fact, honestly, the themes he always preached was Mark 11, have faith of God. Come on. You know, talking about, you know, if you believe, you know, when you pray, believe, you receive. If you speak to the mountain, you doubt not in your heart, it will obey you, the whole thing. But every single cassette, he made a reference to a fasted lifestyle. Every one. And he wasn't a small man. But what he was saying, the key to what he was operating in was his flesh was under control. Come on. And to be honest with you, our biggest problem is flesh. It's not the devil. Because we have authority over him, but the flesh gives him entrance. Amen. Come on now. Does this make sense? And God wants, he wants us to shut off some avenues. This is a year he's going to begin to deal like he never dealt with before. And you know, God begin to you know, when God's placed the dream in your heart that only he can make possible, you need to fast and pray. Come on. Because how many people understand, even during a fast, good, whatever's in you, good or bad, is going to come out. I laughed about it because I told my wife, I said, I was during the 30-day fast, I was on my highest highs and lowest lows like every 10 minutes. I mean, it's like, whoa, that's great, God. Oh, you know, I thought, man, this is the world. It's like, it was the weirdest thing I'd ever been in my life, but he was cleaning out garbage that I didn't even know was there. You know? Because I had become desensitized. And I mean, it opened me up to a whole different world. Do you know, I remember, you know, my brother years ago, he gave me a call on the phone and he said, you know, he was crying. He was like 22 years old at the time. And I was at Oral Roberts University. And he's crying. I said, what's wrong, Bill? He said, Laura, that's his wife. He said, she's in toxemic shock. And she was pregnant. And she said, she's in a coma. And the doctors delivered the baby. And, you know, she was carrying at 1 pound, 9 ounces. This was in the 70s. And you know, my brother had prayed a prayer, but Jesus wasn't Lord of his life. He might have had fire insurance. I don't know. I mean, if he died, he might have made it into heaven. But Jesus wasn't Lord of his life. You know, he was maybe a compartment that he ran to occasionally. So he called me up and he said, Woody, what do I do? And I said, you know, I said, is there a chapel in the hospital? He said, yes. I said, if it was me, your wife's in a coma anyway and they don't know if she's going to make it. I said, the baby, they said, probably won't make it. So you need a miracle. And I said, I would spend a little bit of time in the room with your wife. I'd spend most of my time in the chapel doing business with God, grabbing hold of Him, being honest, pouring out your heart, believing for a miracle. And, you know, I didn't tell them to fast, but, you know, there are times in your life something's more important than food. So for 10 days he didn't eat because he couldn't. It was, you know, it wasn't something that was on his mind. And he prayed and you know, got himself right. He made vows to God. Said, God, if you'll just spare my wife, I'll serve you with all my heart. 10 days later, his wife came out of the coma. And the good news is that, you know, my niece is now in her 30s. And you never know, she was 1.9 ounces. And I kept thinking, what would have happened had he not positioned himself for a miracle? What would have happened? And I've had people ask me, say, what would have happened if it died? You know, something. There are times in our life, I think, we need to look in the mirror and saying, I've done all. There's something noble about knowing you did everything you knew, even if it didn't work. You remember when David, you know, he had sinned and the baby was dying and he didn't eat for days, and they finally brought him news that the baby had died, and he went out and he was okay, and they didn't understand that. But you know, he was saying, while the baby was living, I was doing everything I knew for a miracle. There's something very noble about looking in a mirror and knowing you've done all. In fact, there have been times I said, God, I have done everything I know. He said, not everything. Everything but. Many of us say, we've done everything. We haven't done everything. I started looking at Matthew 6. About seeking first the kingdom of God, and you have to back up to see the three components of seeking first the kingdom of God. Because Matthew 6 is how you do it. And it goes on to say something like this. It says, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you'll have no reward with your Father. It says, when you give. So no, number one thing that's constant in seeking first the kingdom of God is giving. Not if you give. When you give. Come on. When you give. I found out something. You can't be seeking first the kingdom of God without giving. It says, when you give, don't do it to be noticed by men. In fact, I got in trouble a lot of times at my church because they'd say, how many people would give this? How many people? And I never would raise my hand. Never. And yeah, I would give it the amounts. In fact, I had the pastor call me up. So how come you never do that? I said, I don't want that to be my reward. I said, I don't want someone to see me raise my hand and feel pressure to do something God's told me to do. They may not be in the position I am to do it. And I don't want them to feel bad if they're not, if they're being obedient. Come on. So I said, you know, I don't do things to be noticed. So he said, when you do it in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Then it goes on to later on, it says, when you pray. So giving is something you should do constantly. It's part of your life. Part of kingdom life. It says when you pray, not if. It says don't do long prayers out in public to be noticed by men. But it says lock the door, and your Father who hears you in secret will reward you openly. And this is what the Lord told me. He said, Woody, he said, your giving life has always been good. And it has. I've never had a problem with giving. Part of it is the family I grew up in. But even before my dad was saved, he was a giver. You know, I mean, well, our family was always, I was taught from the moment, I mean, you know, we're just taught not to be selfish, that if you, you know, you have responsibility. So just giving's never been a problem with me. It just, you know, when I got born again, I just end up focusing more on giving to through, you know, to the things of God. But I've always been a giver, so it's never been a problem. You know, some people they struggle with, never have. Praying, this is what the Lord told me. He said, now your prayer life's pretty good. And he couldn't have said that years ago. But my prayer life is pretty good now. And, you know, I know that. I've worked on it. He said, the problem is, he said, you've been operating on a twofold cord instead of a threefold cord. Because it also says when you fast, not if. That's what the Lord told me. He said, you're not supposed to fast as often as you give or as often as you pray, because the Bible says pray without ceasing. You fast without ceasing, you will cease. Yeah. But the bottom line is, it's not if, it's when. Come on now. When you fast, don't go around looking sad and telling, oh, I'm suffering for Jesus. You know? Come on. Don't make everyone else feel guilty when they're eating. You know? I mean, don't be a party pooper. Yeah. But the bottom line is, when you fast, not if. And this is written to all believers, which tells me all believers at some time are called on a fast. Like I said, there are different types. So if you have medical issues, there's still a fast that's right for you. Come on. You know, don't do something stupid. But, you know, obey God. And it says, God, he says the reward is the same. So God literally puts as much weight on fasting as he does on giving and as on praying. Come on. See, how many people understand God wants us to esteem his word greater than our necessary food? Come on. He really does. And literally, you know, biblical fasting always, it does refer to food. You know, in fact, when God called me on a 21-day fast, our church goes on, I mean, on a 30-day fast, God, we'll go on a 21-day every, you know, January. And usually they give up things like soda pop or, you know, ice cream or something like that. You know, most of them, I mean, I look at the fast they're on, think that, you know. Hey, man, I'll give up fish. I don't like it anyway. No. You know, but, you know, I mean, it was one of those type of things. In fact, I asked God, I said, God, can I do it with them? He said, no. He said, you're going to have to do what I told you to do, not what they're doing. If they're obedient, they'll be blessed. So I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to give you a formula. I'm just going to tell you God's going to speak. How many of you have situations that need to change? Come on now. You've got things that you've done everything else, but let's go to Mark chapter 2. Let me show you something. Some of you are going to thank me for this. It may hurt. Some of you, just by me talking about fasting, it's made you really hungry. You can't wait to get out and eat. I know how that is. I used to eat all the time thinking you might call me on one. You know, and like I said, don't go out and do something today, but listen to God and he'll show you how. But be open. In Mark 2, verse 19, it says, Jesus said to him, while the bridegroom is with them, the attendants of the bridegroom do not fast, do they? So long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. Let me tell you something. There's a time when it's improper to fast. And it's improper to fast when you're constantly receiving fresh revelation. You already got a breakthrough going. It's improper to fast when the glory of God is just coming in waves and everything's working in your life. And there are seasons where just all heaven breaks loose. And we might as well celebrate. Eat the fat, drink the sweet. Hallelujah. It's great. But Jesus went on to say when they should fast. And it says, but the days will come when their bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast on that day. Now, Jesus never leaves us or forsakes us, but how many times, how many of you do you know that there are times he seems far away? You're not hearing like you once heard. Things aren't fresh anymore. You're doing what you know to do, but you know you don't know what you need to know. Come on. So you humble your soul with fasting. Now, he never changes. This is the thing that really hit me, because I never saw this, and it's in the context in every gospel when they talk about renewed wineskins. He's still talking about fasting. Never changed the subject. He says, no one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. Otherwise, the patch pulls away from it, and the new from the old, and the worst tear results. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. And I'm going to tell you something, he hasn't changed the subject of fasting. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and the wine is lost, and the skins as well. But one puts new wine into fresh wineskins. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what does that have to do with fasting? He said, the old wineskins don't care when I'm not there. In other words, when I'm away, they operate like they always have operated when I'm there. They're not desperate for my presence. They're not willing to humble themselves and go after me. Their life is fine even when it's not fine with them. Because they like their form. They don't care about the substance. It makes no difference where I show up or I don't show up. But a new wineskin are those when I'm not there, it doesn't satisfy them. And they'll do whatever it takes to draw my presence. Come on, somebody. See, how many of you understand? There are certain situations that won't change if you don't fast. One of the great scriptures in Matthew 10:1, it talks about how Jesus gave the disciples authority over every type of sickness, every type of disease. Every type of demonic activity. They could cast out demons. They had authority. And yet in Matthew 17, when the lunatic boy was brought to the disciples and they tried to cast out that devil, they could not. It didn't say, it said they could not. They weren't able to. In fact, the father took the lunatic boy, was throwing himself in the fire and just trying to kill himself, took him to Jesus and said, well, I took him to your disciples. They couldn't cast him out. And Jesus upbraided the disciples. How long do I have to be with you? In one word, he cast out that spirit. His disciples came up to him and said, we don't understand this. That's probably the first time they ever ran to a situation where a demon did come out. They understand that. We have authority. Why didn't this boy get delivered? And Jesus said, this kind of demon, this kind of situation, it will never change. It will never submit. Unless there's fasting and prayer. This time, he said, you can pray all you want to, but this kind, some of you may be facing this kind of situation. You may need someone who needs a deliverance, a miracle, and it may be a this kind, and you've done everything else, but this kind. So I believe in my brother's case, he faced a this kind. I believe had he not fasted, had he just prayed, I don't even think he would have gotten the miracle. See, how many of you understand, throughout Scripture, God deals, the first commandment had to do with food. The only restriction he put on man was his diet. Only restriction. He could have chosen anything. He chose to put a restriction on food. Now, there are two types of people. There are the legalists who say, don't eat any food. You know, they're so afraid of everything. You know, they're the ones that, you know, when you're at school and recess, they're hugging the building because they're afraid to play. They're afraid of everything. Then you have the grace people that don't understand grace at all. And they're the type of people when Jesus said, you can eat any tree but this one. They'd be saying, it's all good. He didn't mean that. It's all good. They're the ones that, you know, instead of playing in the perimeter where there's a field with a fence around it, they have to play in the streets. Not really realizing that's going to hurt them. But be honest with you, when God, the first commandment had to do with food. You know, Jesus' first temptation had to do with food. The first thing that Jesus ever felt for us on earth was hunger. The last thing he ever felt on earth was thirst. He said, I'm thirsty. In fact, if you study what God say, he said the problem with this perverse generation is their God is their appetite. You know, if you study out in Ezekiel 16, the original sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was not homosexuality, it was uncontrolled appetite. I'm tired of trying to pick up fallen people because they have appetites out of control. Don't tell me it's not important. It is. You know, I started looking throughout Scripture that when people hit a wall, they fasted. When Hannah couldn't have a child, in 1 Samuel chapter 1. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. She was barren, and she hit a wall. All she wanted was a son. That's all she wanted. She got so desperate, she fasted, she prayed, she went to the temple. She was moving her lips because she was in such distress. Eli thought she was drunk, the priest. And said, what are you drinking this time of day for? And she said, it's not what you think. I'm in distress. He looked at her and said, well, this time next year you'll have a son. Well, she not only had a son, she gave birth to the voice of God. Because the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Her fasting and prayer was the entry point of God speaking again. Come on. When Esther was born in the kingdom for such a time as this, had favor in the king's palace. When the king was tricked to write an edict that would have destroyed the Jewish people. And Mordecai came to Esther and said, your people need you. Judgment has started, and only you can stop it. You're in position to stop it. And if you don't do it, don't think you're going to escape what's coming. You know what Esther did? Esther didn't say, it's okay, guys, I'll do it. She didn't. She said, you call the people on a 3-day fast, then I'll do it. I will not approach the king until you've put yourself in position for favor. Had she just went into the king, she couldn't have been destroyed and the Israelites could have been controlled. But the fast was the entry point. Come on. You see this throughout Scripture. You see, when Daniel got a revelation of the last days, it drove them to fasting and prayer for understanding. I mean, I believe it's time that we look and say, when things aren't right, we humble ourselves. Say, God, just like Jehoshaphat, when the five armies went against him, he called, they needed the word from heaven, so they humbled themselves with fasting. And he didn't, a lot of his confession wasn't that great. Probably it would irk most of us faith people. Lord, these armies are bigger than we are. We have no strength to stand against them. But he didn't stop there. He called a fast. He went, he spread out. He said, but Lord, our eyes are on you. We know this is bigger than we are, but it's not bigger than you. And God, we're positioning ourselves from a word from heaven that can change everything. How many people understand when you humble yourself? Bible says God exalts you. You know, when you are exalted, people see you different. So when you humble yourself, God changes the way people see you. When you do these things in secret, God says he doesn't keep it a secret. He rewards you openly for everyone to see. He says, if you'll do it in secret, I'll make sure everyone else sees the blessing. Come on. Does this make sense? We know in Nineveh, when judgment was coming against them, and they messed up. And be honest with you, some of us can be in situations we caused. I've been there. It was my stupidity. I couldn't blame anyone else. I've been in situations where other people tried to counsel me and I was just too proud to hear counsel. I was going to do it my way. And created problems. But you know, even the Ninevites, when they knew judgment was coming, they believed the word to such a degree they called a fast. Sackcloth and ashes, even on the animals. Everyone fasted, including all the animals. And the Bible says God changed his mind. Their repentance caused God to repent. He changed his mind. You can reposition yourself and cause God to change his mind. That's the good news. I started looking at all these things. And I said, God, we're missing out on a major key here. You know? And as I began to fast, I started feeling better. And I began to see. I literally have been hooked on, because the mindset in the flesh is death. The mindset in the spirit is life and peace. When the flesh no longer grips you, you're free. And he who suffers in the flesh is freed from sin. You know what carnal means? Flesh ruled. That's all it means. Meathead, flesh ruled. When you're no longer flesh ruled, God can do something. You know, when the enemy has no place, no entry point. It's very hard for him to do anything. Come on. See, how many people understand? Even when the Apostle Paul, when he was called into full-time ministry, knocked off a camel or high horse, whatever. He didn't eat for 3 days and God, and he was actually blinded, but God showed him what he must suffer. When he was called into the full-time missionary, he had already been called, but the separation came during the fast. It was the entry point into the new. Let me show you one last one in Joel. Is this okay today? I'm challenging you because I know many of you, you're in the point I was. I said, God, you know, I want to break up the fallow ground. And God, I don't know about you, but I know there's more, and I'm tired of just staying here. The God, whatever it takes, and I'll get into that more tonight, whatever it takes. That's what I've been praying. God, whatever it takes, I want what you showed me, whatever it takes. I'm not satisfied, you know, here, and I'm not even in a bad place, but I'm not satisfied compared to what I know is supposed to be. Whatever it takes, God. But Joel chapter 2, we always talk about how God wants to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh, but we don't realize that literally what caused the entry point into the outpouring of the Holy Ghost was a fast. I believe it probably was in Acts chapter 2 too. I bet in the upper room, it was the upper room, not the supper room. I bet if, you know, it didn't say they were fasting, my guess is they were. I'll guarantee you one thing, they weren't feasting. That wasn't their focus right then. But Joel 2 verse 14. Or 15, it says, blow a trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, proclaim a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, scatter the children and nursing infants. Let the bridegroom come out of his room and the bride out of her bridal chamber. Let the priests, the Lord's ministers, weep between the porch and the altar. Well, I found out about something about fasting is it literally will put you in touch with God's heart. And be honest with you, if we understood what's going on in this nation, we wouldn't take it lightly. We would be more like the weeping prophets. You know, and they began to weep, priests began to weep. And what were they weeping? They said, God, don't let your people become a reproach. Don't let the nations show that the glory of God's not in their midst. I mean, that's what the heart cry was. God, you know, this is your reputation too. Let them say, spare thy people, O Lord. Do not make them thine inheritance a reproach, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among their peoples, where is their God? Then the Lord will be zealous. When? After the fast. Then they'll be zealous for His land and will have pity on His people. And the Lord will answer and say to His people, behold, I'm going to send you grain, new wine, and oil, and you will be satisfied and full with them. And I will never make you a reproach among the nations. And I'll remove the northern army, and I'll begin to turn things back, and I'll drive it into a parched and desolate land. And he said, literally, he said, because of the fasting, he said, do not fear, O land, rejoice and be glad, for the Lord has done great things. It says the pastures of the wilderness has turned green. Everything begin to turn, for the tree has borne its fruit. Everything, the economy begins to come alive again. Everything begins to change. Come on. It said that in the midst of that, God's taken away our reproach, our shame. Not only is he doing that, he says, in the midst of that, I will make up to you the years the cankerworm is eaten. But the only way that will happen in the scriptural pattern is if his people have fasted. The wasted years stay a waste without the fast. Then I'll make up to you the years. Some of you right now, God, you got some years. You need some makeup. Come on now. You need a major makeover for some years. You need that gap filled. And many times in your life, it was a time frame when you were doing what was right. But you still need it filled up. Because the enemy still came in and stole. Come on. Then he said, it'll come about, at, you know, after these things, he said he's going to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. But everything starts with the fast. If you don't get anything I say, this is one of the strongest things God showed me. Number one, fasting repositions us. Number two, fasting is the entry point into the new. Number three, when you don't know what to do, fast. It won't hurt you to miss a meal. I'm looking at you guys. There are not too many people in here. If you missed the meal, it would hurt. Sorry. I mean, I used to, Billy Joe Daugherty years ago, he, you know, when I was going to, you know, Victory for years, I would tell him, I said, our church is just as big as Dr. Cho's, and he'd laugh. He said, Dr. Cho has like a million people, or actually 500,000 at the time. Now it's like a million. And he said, we only have 10,000. I said, yeah, but our 10,000 is just as big as his 500,000. But the bottom line is, you know, how many of you need a breakthrough? How many of you are up against a wall that can't move? How many of you are willing to do whatever it takes? Yeah. How many of you at least are open to if God speaks to you? Now, He is speaking generally, but He'll give you specifics. And what I'm saying, don't you go out and do what I'm not doing what I did again unless God tells me to. I'm not planning on going out and having a 30-day fast every year because that's what I do. In fact, you know, I'm planning on really enjoying next Thanksgiving and Christmas. Making up for all the parties I missed. But the bottom line is, you know, what's happened with me is not just an event. It became a lifestyle. And what was out of control was put back under control. And, now I've been able to dictate to my flesh who's under control. And some of you, honestly, you need to get under self-control. Yeah. The fruit of the Spirit. That's right. Some of you, honestly, you need to humble yourself and say, God, I've done everything I know but. But Lord, I'm willing to try it. It ain't going to hurt. God, I'm willing to position myself, and I'm going to believe that you're going to do what you said. You're going to reward me openly. If I humble myself, you'll exalt me in due season. And God, I don't want due season to never show up because I wasn't doing what you told me to do. And some of you are facing a situation, God, sometimes, you know, we're kind of like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Lord, I know you're going to deliver us, but even if you don't, we're not bowing. We're not bowing. We're not pulling off our faith. We're not pulling, even if it doesn't turn out the way we think it's going to turn out. We, you know, because those thoughts do go throughout your mind. You say, if the enemy will put the thoughts in, say, even if that, we ain't bowing to you. It's still worth it. Still worth it. Because I have friends, you know, they'll say, well, what? Well, you know, I'm believing God, but what if I die? I said, we all die sometime. I said, you look in the mirror and say, I live by faith. In fact, to be honest, you die in faith, you die happy. Sure beats the other way. You know? I won't always be in victory. Yes. Faith is the victory. Yes. I want every head bowed, no one looking around. If you fall asleep, I pray God give you a dream. Some of you right now, you got pictures of food, man. I didn't feel, oh man, I better eat while I can, just in case. Lord, I don't want His anointing. I don't want 30 day. I want to go to this church where they just have to give up stuff they don't like. No. You know. Yep. I need to ask a couple of questions. The number one question is, you know, Righteousness is the ability to stand in God's presence without the sense of guilt, fear, or inferiority. And then, you know, when you know when you're right with God, is there anyone here today, maybe you've never asked Jesus to heart, maybe you have and you walked away, but you just need to basically step on up and get back to where you need to come back today. You need to get back where you know you're walking with God and right with God and close to Him. Is there anyone here today who said, you know, the Bible says if we confess our sin, He's faithful to cleanse us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, what unrighteousness does is it just keeps us out of the presence of God. You know, is there anyone who said, I just need to make a comeback today? If that's you, raise your hand, anybody. Don't be ashamed, anybody. Everybody, you know you're okay? Not me if you know you're okay. How many of you say, you're talking to me today, though? And how many of you say, you know, I got a situation I need to see move. It has to move quick. You know, I mean, that's where I was. I finally got to the point, I said, God, I'm not putting up with this anymore. I'm just not putting up with just going through the motions or going places where they go through the motions. I said, God, I want to get so radical that either I won't fit anymore, and that's fine, or they'll step up. Because I'm not helping people by leaving them in the way they were. And I'm not helping myself by pretending this is okay. If you need a breakthrough today, I want to pray for you. Maybe you need a breakthrough in your body. Maybe you need a breakthrough emotionally. If you say, God, I just am at the point, I believe there's an anointing to make up for the wasted years. I believe that God wants to make up for those years that you know, we look back on and say, man, I don't understand. And sometimes it's, I don't understand it. I'm not going to live in regret. But I don't want to look back in the rest of my life and say, what happened? I want to look back and say, hey, God, you made up for that. You made up for that. And if you need a breakthrough that way, I want to pray for you now. Come on up. I want to pray for you. If that's you, come on. I know there's some. You're saying, this, I'm making up. God, I'm going to position myself for the makeup. I'm going to position myself for a breakthrough. I'm going to position myself. This is a season where we're repositioning everything. I told God, I said, God, I don't want to be just an old wineskin. I don't even want to live off of old teaching that's not current with you. In other words, a lot of times what they're saying is right, but they're still not connecting because they're actually presenting it in a time frame that's not current with it. See, I found out about God. The Word of God is both current in heaven and current on earth. It's present truth. God wants to bring some present truth our way. Lift up your hands towards heaven. Start thanking God that this is a time that He's going to restore the wasted years. That this is a time where God's going to begin to turn things back. I release that anointing right now in the name of Jesus. God, it is a turnaround year. At the end of this year, we want to begin to look and say, look at the great things God has done. And God, I'm asking You to bless this people, that everyone else around them will see the great things God has done. That will become so obvious. That will become so obvious, God, that everyone, when you look back, everyone will say, hey, it worked. Vindicate Your people. Prove who's right. Those who thought we were crazy, God, let them see that You were right. And because we agreed with You, we were right. Lord, I'm asking You to bless unbelievably this people. God, I thank You this is a year of strength. This is a year, God, where we're getting back that which was stolen from us. This is a year, God, where things are coming true. There's an anointing in the house right now. Some of you, you've got some marching orders God's given you. Some of you, He's going to begin that this week, He's going to give you keys. And they're going to unlock things. And they may seem hard on the flesh, but they're going to be easy because of the grace of God. I told people, I said, a 30-day fast based on a word from heaven was easier to me than a normal one-day fast is just out of natural discipline. I literally did not suffer at all. I understand when it said after 40 days, Jesus became hungry. I was literally didn't feel, I ate broth. I normally ate like 10,000 calories a day or something, you know. And I always go down to like 100 calories or something like that a day. And I didn't feel hungry because God said. And God's just going to begin to do the God said thing on us. There's an anointing coming. That things He's promised, He's performing in the name of Jesus. He's going to watch over His word to perform it. God has a word over this area. It's His word. It may be His word in you, but it's His word. It's His reputation. God says, I'm watching it over. I'm going to begin to turn things. I'm going to begin to work things for good. I'm going to work all things together for your good. It's a new season. And in this new season, He'll make all things new. And things will begin to work for you, not against you. I believe God that the favor of God's going to come all over you. And you're going to begin to see favor like never before in the name of Jesus. It's a breakthrough time. We've been through stuff. But the good news is God's there all the time. And He's just going to work on your behalf. You know, what I found out is when God puts things together, it's wonderful. When things fall apart, God can put things back together again. And He says, I'm going to begin to work on your behalf like never before. He said, He's not forsaken, but you know, when He seems far away, just humble yourself, seek Him. He's about ready to come in clearer than ever before. And watch Him turn things. Watch Him turn things. What I love about God is when He makes up things, when He fills voids. Sometimes, you know, what I found out in my own life, He's not always filled it with the exact same thing, but He's filled it with something that fills it. And a lot of times it's just as good. It's just different. Every season for me has been good. They've just been different. And God's beginning, He's doing a new thing in your hearts. He said, I'm going to make up for all those years. I'm going to make up for them. I'm going to make up for those things that make no sense at all. And He said, there are times we can't even figure it out. We don't have to figure it out. All we need God to do is come in and fill the void. And give us back the youth again. The youth is restored like the eagle. Satisfy your life with good things so your youth is renewed. Things will begin to work again. Things that you've heard. And a lot of things have been disjointed, but they've been for me, declares God. I'm going to put all the pieces together. So clarity is going to come, declares the Lord. Many of us are one piece away from the puzzle making sense. Have you ever been around and all of a sudden you saw something, and when you saw it, everything else came together? Mm-hmm. I believe many of us, this is our season of revelation knowledge, where things are going to begin to work again, and things are going to begin to move again, and the promises He made, He's going to fulfill. He's so wild about you, it's ridiculous. You know, things that were impossible before, very possible now. You're in a whole new season. Everything's becoming new. God's restoring dreams. He's restoring the ability to think outside the box again. Come on now. Mm-hmm. Where you don't feel like you're no longer a victim, you're a victor. You're above and not beneath, and the view is a whole lot better up there. Right. In Jesus' name. You know, God's made us the head and not the tail. Has anyone ever know that the view's better from the head? And life smells better from the head? Just an observation. But God is doing things. You know, it's like, okay, God, let's get on with it. And you know, there are times I've said it. I think you probably, God, I'm not getting any younger. You got to get this thing done. And you know, God said, you know, He agrees. Not that you're not getting younger. He's going to renew your youth. But he agrees with it. Let's get on with it. He said, I've been willing all these years. But now, he said, God, I'm raising up a whole new breed again. And he said, I'm going to renew my old breed. And I'm going to put that fighting spirit back in them again, that hunger again. And there's just a newness coming all over you again. You know, we don't have to do in the energy of the flesh. In fact, what I found out about, one of the things I've done with fasting is you have no energy. So it has to be God. And God says, I'm going to show you what I can do. We're going to come into a season where we're going to see what God can do. Not what flesh can do, but what God can do. And I believe that this week, all throughout this week, I believe messages will help position us for that. He's doing a new thing. I'll share something that, you know, my son said recently when he met with some Intel executives again, and it freaked me because it is so true. And I'll share tonight one of the keys, because it was, well, I heard it, I said, God, that is so scriptural, it's ridiculous. And, you know, and it was revelation to them. It's amazing when you don't clothe it with religious stuff and you talk to the world, how when you say something under the anointing of God, you get all their attention. You know, my son said, I could have prophesied over them, Daddy, but they wouldn't listen. So I did without saying, thus saith the Lord. He said, but I got their attention. You know, we're about ready to grab hold of the world's attention. Come on now. God wants to exalt us to get the world's attention. Come on now. He's about ready to use us as the light of the world, the salt of the earth. Come on now. Yeah, we're going to put the city set on the hill. We're going to let the light on the light stand, not under, you know, we're not going to put under a shade. We're going to let it shine. God wants to reposition us. When the righteous rule, the city rejoices. And we're about ready to see the righteous rule one more time. One more time. One more major rule, and then we can leave. Yes. We're out of here. Yes. One more rule, yes. Then we're allowed to eat. We'll have the marriage supper of the Lamb. Oh, man. I told God, I said, God, all the stuff I'm not allowed to eat down here. I really put on my menu, man. I said, hey, you going to give me a new body so I can eat as much as I want? That's how I got my family saved. They never missed a meal. I said, hey, the best meal you've ever been to requires you have a ticket. And Jesus is the ticket. He's the meal ticket. How many of you got something this morning? Yes. How many, you know, and I'm going to say, don't go out and fast right away unless God tells you to. I'm just saying, be open. And make it part of your spiritual disciplines in terms of saying, okay, God, you said when, so I want to hear from you. And I want you to tell me how. And I'll just do what you tell me to do. And I have friends that, honestly, their fasts are not, to me, they're not hard at all, but they work for them. It's not a whole lot of denial. For me, it would be no denial at all. But for them, it is. And God looks. And it works. You know, and you just got to do what God tells you to do, and don't judge each other by what they do or don't do. But be open, because I want to see your situations change. And you may be facing this kind of situation that without fasting in the equation, nothing changes. Is that okay? Mm-hmm. Thank you. Amen. Praise the Lord. So he's going to dismiss you to eat.